Armand DeMille.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here. Bringing new ideas, concepts, things to think about. And we're particularly talking about, two great subjects lately. One is, we're talking about relationship skills. Very difficult to have a good relationship, you know, and we understand that you may think it's kind of simple. You get together with somebody, you're in love, and love lasts, and here we go. It should be kind of simple, but you know, a relationship is a passionate, spiritual, emotional, sexual commitment between two people that nurtures both people and maintains a high regard for the value of each person. Shall we try that out as a definition? Maybe write it down. A loving relationship is a passionate, spiritual, emotional, sexual commitment between two people. And this relationship nurtures both people and maintains a high regard for the value of each person. So a relationship is not one that diminishes one person and makes the other bigger. A relationship is not one that's going to be, that has, you know, serving only one of the people. That's not a relationship. I can understand that. That may be a king with his slaves or a, you know, a queen with her following. Man with his dog. You know, the dog doesn't get behooved. The horses get behooved, huh? All right, anyway, stop fooling around. We're going to talk about relationship today, and we're going to talk about three aspects of relationship. We're going to talk about boundaries, very, very important boundaries, what that means. We're going to talk about invaders. Yep, another important subject. And we're going to talk about change. Three very important aspects. If you could get this, I think it would help you considerably. So, let's take a look. In order to begin working on this idea, you have to learn in a relationship, it's kind of this incredible thing. You know, for as long as you've been alone in a relationship, for as long as you've been without the other person, for as long as you've lived alone, you haven't had to worry about your boundaries. Maybe you did with your parents. You had boundaries, they had boundaries. Don't come into my bedroom unless you knock. You know, knock on the toilet door before you walk in. If you live with a family, there's a sense of family boundaries. Everybody's got it, kind of. Kind of. I've known families where the children were not allowed to have boundaries. And the parents felt they had the right to walk in and do anything they want. And it would create very, very nervous children. Because a child had no privacy at all. In a relationship, you get together with another person, and you say, here we are, we're in love, we need no boundaries. Everything I have is yours, everything you have is mine, I have no, everything you think is okay, you can think it out loud, every piece of mail you get I can see, every phone call I could listen to, there is no boundaries. This is the idea, this loving idea. Now I'm not saying that's right, but a lot of people believe that at the beginning, they believe it's like it's just perfect, and maybe that's right, but you know, it does something to an individual's mind to feel that it has no sense of self, other than its sense of self is part of the couple. So very often a person needs to have a time alone, you know, where you could go off and take a walk and not be accountable, not have a cell phone or a beeper, you know, following you around like an umbilical cord. Just a sense that you are you. Take a train to nowhere. You know, take a train all the way down to Brooklyn and just stay on the train and see what it's like. Take the train all the way back. I've done that in other countries. I always love to do that. I love that, particularly around Paris, where you can just pick an area that you've never been in and just take a train. And you go there, you're looking out the window, and these are elevated trains, and you're seeing everything. What a wonderful journey. And then you come back, it's 3 hours later, 4 hours later, and you've had an adventure. Well, this is a thing that people could do with themselves within their relationship, but let's talk about the need of boundaries. Boundaries are needed in a good relationship, and I want you to think about the ones that you have. You don't need privacy, as if privacy means I am ashamed of what I'm doing. Privacy should not be I have a right to do something I want to do that you object to. For example, if you have an issue over pornography, privacy is not, I'm going to lock myself down in the basement with my computer, and I'm going to look at pornography. And if your mate doesn't like you looking at pornography and has an issue about it, that's got to be discussed. Privacy is not being allowed to have your own sex life in a basement with anonymous people that the other person doesn't know about. That's not privacy. You know, you would discuss that with each other. You work that out with each other. You make sure the things, I mean, you're in a relationship. There are many things that people feel that they need boundaries to. And let me tell you, the most successful couples I know have respect of boundaries around issues that you wouldn't even think about. Light is one. I've mentioned this before. There is an amount of light that you like. Each one of you like a certain amount of light differently. You know, when you're watching television, do you like a light on or do you like a light off? When you go to sleep at night, do you like one light on? Or do you like all lights off? Do you like the room completely darkened? Do you like to have a little light somewhere? When you're sitting and when you're reading, do you want one light on and not all the house lights on? Or are you somebody who likes to have the house as bright as possible? Well, those are all nice things. You could have your own individual idea, but what happens when you have light set a certain way, like dim light, and you're feeling in that kind of a dim light mood, and your mate walks home and turns on all the lights? Now, you may think, this is, well, it's okay now, my time is over. But there's a light boundary, because the shock to your system is much bigger than you think it is. So there are light boundaries. You know, another boundary is sound boundaries. Don't make noise that I don't want to hear. Let's negotiate it. You know, all of these can be negotiated. It's like you ever been sleeping, and if you have a mate and your mate wakes up and starts making a lot of noise while you're sleeping. They start rattling things or picking things up or getting things. That could be very distressing. So there are sound boundaries. How about this one? You want to get another one? Smell boundaries. Yep. If you're sleeping with somebody who smells like, you know, one of those people that Roberta and I talk about from 400,000 years ago, you know, before they invented the bath. And it's all right. I mean, you have a right to be as dirty as you want to be. If you happen to like the smell of your own crud, it's fine. But if they've got to sleep in the bed next to you, might have to be a consideration. You know, if they've got to be next to you. So there's smell, there's light, and there's sound. And you may think these have no meanings, but people who do not have these boundaries set have this kind of irritable reaction to each other. You know, you have this, somebody comes in, there goes my space. Phew, that person has a way of changing my space. Nobody likes to have their space changed without them having something to say about it. So there's space, there's light, there's there's sound, there's smell. What about your body? What about your body? Where does someone's freedom go? If you're in a relationship, can they go over and grab you anytime they want and just, you know, or pet you whenever they want or touch you whenever they want? Is that the way it is? Is that what a relationship is? I hereby give you my body. Now, whenever you want it, wherever you want it, however you want it, you could do anything you want with it, touch it, feel it, smell it, do anything you want. Is that the way it is? If I'm not looking, it's okay. You could do whatever you want. Well, some people may enjoy that. But mostly your body is part of something that requires a boundary. Didn't you ever get the feeling if you're, you know, you're laying there and suddenly your mate wants to lay on top of you? You know, and it's like, oh, I'm just being affectionate. You know, do you ever get the feeling like you want to, you know, push him off? That happens. So there are many things. Here are other things that you could set boundaries with your body. Your mind. Your mind has boundaries. There is only a certain amount you can do with my mind. This is Armand DeMille with you, talking about relationships. And I'm talking about boundaries that we set in our lives. We're also going to talk about invaders and change. These are tools for relationships. We've been discussing this for the last, couple of weeks. We call this series the Relationship Tools. We've had 1, 2, and 3. This is the third. Tools for having a better relationship. I'm planning on putting this set together and then giving it as a gift to many of my friends at Christmas time. I'm starting my shopping early because I think this would be a great gift. Your mind. When somebody comes over and analyzes you, and they say, I know you're mad at me because I saw the way you did so-and-so, or I understand that you're really angry at that person because of this. When people analyze you without your welcoming it, it's called mind raping. Mind raping is disrespectful. It's not boundaries. When you're setting boundaries at a person has a right to have their own mind. The worst cases of this you could see is therapists, psychotherapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers who analyze their children all the time. It just so happens that those people in that profession, my profession, have the children with the greatest amount of disturbance and one of the highest rates of suicide. Why do you think? So you have all this mental health around because nobody wants their mind invaded. And an adolescent child wants to have their own mind and they don't want to be told what they're thinking or feeling. And to escape the invasion of their mind, they may commit suicide. It's happened often enough. So nobody wants to be told who they are or what they are beyond what they're ready to hear. You may be absolutely accurate. You know, if a man comes home and he says to you, I hate that new boss of mine. She is such a... I can't stand the jewelry she wears, and she wears these old floppy dresses, and I don't like her, and I don't like the way she talks to me, and she sounds this way or that. And you know that that person is just like his mother. So you say to him, you know, she's just like your mother. That's not welcomed. Doesn't work. This is another boundary not to be crossed. As smart as you are, whatever you learn from the positive mind, my dear friends, please do not get people with this and go in and just dissect them. Mind analyzing somebody else is not respecting the boundaries of their mind. This is more important than you think. Armand DeMille here with you as a positive mind. So learning to set boundaries is essential. Learning to have boundaries, respect boundaries, and set boundaries by telling your mate, no, not here. When I'm in the bathroom, do not walk in. If I'm brushing my teeth, try that not to be your time to come in the bathroom. I mean, try to make this, just consider if I'm in a room alone, before you walk in, consider that I'm there. Boundaries are a way that we teach those around us that we are important and our needs are important. So by setting boundaries, you're really saying a great deal more. You're saying, I'm an important person. People who don't set boundaries, they're saying, I'm not an important person. So don't blame the other person when they suddenly treat you like you're a dish rag because they've never seen you, because you've set no definition, because you've set no boundaries. Of course, you blame them for treating you like a dish rag, but the fact that people will not consider you is something that you may be fostering by not setting boundaries. Boundaries are necessary in order to keep the most important thing, invaders, from depleting the energy and marring the focus of a relationship. It takes clarity and it takes energy to make a relationship work, and the relationship has to be protected somewhat. But there are things that I will call invaders that are in your life, and I want you to think about it. On a sheet of paper, make a list right now. Invaders in your relationship. Invaders. Now, what could invaders be? Invaders could be people. You know, your sister walks over whenever she wants. Invaders. Invaders could be your children. You're laying in bed, you're holding each other, your children have a right to cut in and climb in the bed. Invaders. Dogs. Cats. Parrots. Fish, if you like them sleeping in the bed with you. Anything that you allow in that gets between you or invades your space or goes beyond the boundaries that you would like to have can be considered an invader. Now, this doesn't make it wrong. Invaders are outside people. An invader could be an event. A thing that happens to you is an invader. I mean, you know, you all know some of the things that happened with tragedy. That's an invader. You could be sitting there trying to, you know, hug your mate, and all of a sudden, you know, something tragic happens. The event becomes an invader. Substances become an invader. If your mate smokes, smoke is an invader. If they drink, drinking is an invader. If you drink, drinking is an invader in the house. You know, a relationship with a cigarette is really a powerful relationship. It's like you have this other love that makes you feel good. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have it, but it is an invader in the relationship if it affects your relationship with your mate, especially if she doesn't like you tasting like an ashtray, if that's what her complaint is. Now, if the two of you smoke and you don't really feel this way, it may not be an invader, but an invader easily is. Any substance that both of you depend on or one of you depend on, alcohol, drugs, vitamins, can be an invader. Just think about it. You know, you go into your own kitchen, and there you have this bunch of drugs and the dehydrator and the vitamins and the water filter, and you have no space to move around your house because there is all of this stuff that is part of the regimen of the other person's health, but it's an invader in your life. If you don't like it, it doesn't make it wrong, but it is an invader. Invaders can be attitudes that come up between two people. And an example of it is an invader is if you become different politically. That's an invader. If a person has a difference of opinion, a strong difference of opinion, and it pops up all the time. If somebody's going to be ultra-conservative all the time, it just keeps coming back beyond reason, or ultra-liberal. You know, if one person is saying all the time, you got to accept it the way it is, that could become an invader, that attitude. Religion could be an invader, you know, easily. And what we want to do is identify. Of course, other relationships are invaders. And it could be friendships. It could be affairs. Invaders inevitably undermine and impair relationships. They deplete energy from a relationship. The invaders interfere with the couple's capacity for care, and they reduce the intensity of the passion between the couple. Do you get the idea? An invader waters down the couple. Now, this is very important, because if you water down the couple, well, it's okay. I mean, many people get by being damp. That's one kind of relationship. But if you want a powerful relationship, if you want a great relationship, my friends, invaders are to be considered. Make a list of the invaders in your life right now. Think about them. You make your list. Go ahead. The things that are in your life that you just, you kind of got a feeling about it. Whether you're right or whether you're not right doesn't matter. Looking at the invaders is important. You know, relationships are wonderful at the beginning. When a relationship that once offered a feeling of newness, rejuvenation, when it becomes a source of hurt and disappointment, generally what happens is the partners tend to blame each other for the loss they suffered, or they blame the invaders. Remember, it's kind of a collaboration. The hurt gets in the way of expressing and accepting what tenderness is left, and both people feel cheated, and they want their relationship to go back to what it was. Many things, you know, happen in a relationship between two people, and especially when it goes badly, but one thing is sure. It is never going to be like it was. Now, this is very important. What's very important is that if two people have been through a relationship and the relationship has faced some hardships, it's never going to go back to the way it was. That thing at the beginning that you had, that was really fantastic. But as you get to know each other, things are going to be different. What becomes important in relationships is people very frequently try to force the other person to be the way they used to be. But nothing's going to be the same. There are changes. We're going to take your calls about all this stuff later. We're going to be talking about boundaries. We're going to be talking about invaders. And we're going to be talking about change. People change and grow. Ideals that were once believed in without hesitation are now openly questioned. Ideas, attitudes. As people grow, they look at each other and they say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean you don't want to go out and see these new friends? What do you mean, talk to me about it? Things you used to accept. Usually what happens is one partner seeks to grow, seeks new horizons. The other becomes fearful and wishes to hold back. One partner wishes to explore his or her emotional life, to understand his or her feelings, and clear themselves of the emotional debts of the past. One person of the two begins to realize, hey, you know, we've been hanging on here for too long. Something's got to change. I have to change. I saw a young Russian woman this morning who said, I have been carrying this around so long. I carry it, and I repeat it, and I repeat it, and I repeat it, and I want that change. I want to make that change. Everybody eventually gets a glimpse of what they could do to make themselves better. If you're in a coupleship, if you're in a relationship, two people, one wants a change, the other one says, hey, relax, stay the way you are. It doesn't work. What happens in a relationship is two people start off both saying, we will keep certain things under wrap, we will not develop certain things, we'll try to feed each other, we'll try to be each other's life, we don't need individual identities anymore. Then you find as you get older, you want your individual identity. As you mature in your relationship, you want more from the, you want to be more of yourself. You turn to your mate and you say to your mate, I'm tired of being depressed. I'm going to make some changes. So you go and you see a therapist, or you make a change in your diet, or you do any number of things, and you find that your mate is resisting you. That's natural. That's absolutely natural for a mate to resist you. Please, my friends, almost everybody who ever comes to me says, well, I know I've got to grow and I've got to get rid of my mate. No, 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 no. Of course they're going to hold on. Of course they're going to try to hold the fort. They're going to try to keep things the way they are. Of course they are. That's the natural response. If somebody pulls one way, somebody's going to pull back the other way. If you understand your mate, and if you understand that they are naturally going to try to keep you and keep things the way they are, you can kind of smile as you see this resistance to change. And you can still go about your change still loving them. Loving them even though they're resisting. That's the idea. Therapists who believe that the only way a person could change is to get out of their current relationship is a therapist who's very short-sighted. Because I know many couples where the partner makes a change and the other partner looks at it after a little while and says, I love it. I love the change we've made. You may have fought them from ever buying a tofu burger, you know, and then you may find you like them. You know, you may have said, you know, I don't want to pay that extra money for that extra lettuce, that organic stuff. And then you may find you feel much better. So resistance to change is natural. If you're going to change, if you're going to make your own steps, expect that resistance. Expect that that's going to happen. Too many relationships have begun with the belief that the partners would be able to stop searching for themselves. Now that I've found you, I don't need to find anything else. Just because they found each other. But it becomes very difficult. So, my friends, this is Armand DeMille with you with the possible mind. I always like that. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about boundaries. We spoke about boundaries. Boundaries are very important. Being able to set your boundaries gives you a chance to set and to say to your partner, I am me, you are you, I am an individual. I want you to see me for who I am. Invaders is paying attention to those things in your life that are there that you feel are impinging on your relationship. They should be able to get discussed and negotiated. And thirdly, we're talking about change, the necessity for change and the resistance to change. In that light, I want to bring you something that's for your heart. Yeah. This is a long time ago. I know another version of this came out, but I'm going to bring you some music. And I tell you, you want to go through a curing right now, right this minute. You let yourself relax. You let yourself take this in. Right after our station break, I'm going to bring you something by Randy Crawford, C-R-E-W-F-O-R-D. And you may have heard it in its newest version. It's just special. And it's about what we go through, and it's about the realization of what we go through. And my friends, I tell you, if you could just accept this basic message, you're going to find that love becomes real different. We're going to take a short station break. When we come back, I'm going to follow you exactly with this music.
Hi, I'm Saad Masi. Masa al khair. Ana Saad Masi. Thank you for listening to WBAI.
All right, bring your music up now. I'm fading my music.
Nothing stays the same. one will change. No one stays the same. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. For that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of. From the clouds, sun lights up the sky, hummingbirds do fly, when it turns to spring. But never much too soon. But everything must change. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. The time. Nothing goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of. Except rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the skies, the hummingbirds do fly. Rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the skies, the hummingbirds do fly.
That's Randy Crawford. I know there's another version of it someone else has done recently, but this is my favorite. Love it. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 if you've just tuned in. If you were just going past your dial and you said, ooh, what pretty music. Well, you hit on one of the great stations in New York City. You've hit on one of the fabulous stations. You've hit on a station called WBAI, which is listener-supported, which is a free station. Free. Free of a lot of the restrictions that happen to people when they have to feed their sponsors. I was listening to the debates, and I was listening to some of those great reporters, some of whom work for Fox News and NBC and CBS, who are owned by people who are, you know, devoutly Republicans. But the reporters are trying to do their job. They're trying to do the job of having an unbiased opinion in the middle of that, even though they know that they are affected by the people who own their station and support them. I remember I used to work on radio where I was told I had to sell cat food. And they even started saying, you know, you have to do a live commercial. Ooh, live commercial meant that I would now have to really not just let the cat food be talked about while I was taking a break during a commercial break, but now I would have to talk about it. You see it happen very often on radio. You'll hear, like, Rush Limbaugh will suddenly be advertising, you know, stress relief workout machines or something like that. You know, you see funny things happen. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Well, WBAI is a station that is going to bring you these remarkable things, and we, the Positive Mind, here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, WBAI, bring you stuff to think about number one, relationships. Wednesday, tomorrow, we'll be doing more probably in our, we'll definitely be doing more with Roberta Atti on the human sexuality and about the evolution of human sexuality, which is really fantastic. And I've been focusing on the other times on relationships and some tools that you could have with a set of things that I call the relationship things. 212-209-2900. What about your calls, friend? You know, soon we're going to be running into marathon time. Which is, marathon time is a time that the station goes by providing its very, very best programming, stellar programming, and at the same time trying to raise money. So even though you may not want to listen, you know, the trouble is you get some of the best stuff that happens at BAI. And you may get tired of hearing people ask you for money, but the station does that. And we need it, and we live this way. And we've been going on since the Vietnam War. We've been here bringing you this kind of stuff in protest, too. 212-209-2900. Let's talk a little about relationships. We're talking about boundaries. We're talking about invaders. And we're talking about change. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I can't believe I got through. My name is Jimmy.
Hello,
I'm
Jimmy.
From New Jersey. I absolutely love your show. I wait in anticipation every day that it's on, and I listen to it.
Thank you.
It's funny that you're talking about this today, because this is exactly the conversation that I had this morning with my therapist of sorts about relationships and the fact that they change. And it's funny that you play this song that says that everything changes and that you say everything changes. And my question to you is, why does that have to be? And because it leaves such a void, and do not the partners in the relationship have a responsibility to try to keep things as they were when you first entered into the relationship?
Well, that sounds like a good idea, you know. Let me introduce you to a word, gitnip. You know what gitnip is, G-I-T-N-I-P?
No idea.
Okay, gitnip. Good in theory, not in practice. Right? Get nip. Good in theory, not in practice. You run into a lot of these in life. There are a lot of philosophies, ideas that come through that are good in practice, good in theory, but not in practice. Good in theory is, if it's perfect at the beginning, let's leave it that way. Now, the problem with that is you're both getting older. You're both changing physiologically. You're both changing hormonally. How are you going to keep time held back? I've seen people who try to hold back their aging process with desperation. You know, I've seen that. How do you, if you know you're going to be changing, how do you adapt to change? Let's say the two of you get together on a relationship that's filled with a lot of energy, and the two of you say, oh, this is wonderful, I love you very much, let's keep traveling, and let's travel all the time, and let's go out dancing all the time. Then you have children. And there's change. And you say, well, we should go out dancing anyway, and we should have a good time anyway. And it's more change. And then you're a little older, and your bones are a little wearier, and maybe you don't want to dance as much. So change is inevitable. A partner's job is not to resist change. A partner's job is to swing with change, is to kind of move with change. In other words, for the partner, if it really is ideal, one person changes and the other person changes in a complementary way. Now, that doesn't mean in the same way. Relationships are very important because when you think of people being compatible at the beginning, it is not the compatibility of the good stuff at the beginning that holds people together. Usually the compatibility of two people reflects the compatibility of their defensive posture towards life, the shields that they erect to hide from their pain and the pain of life itself. So two people get together and very often they say, let's live in a cocoon and we never have to deal with anybody. So the basis of the early commitment becomes the shielding, the defensive. Now, if two people share the same defensive pattern, for example, they want to both deny reality, they may seem to live in harmony superficially, but their relationship may not be free to foster growth, because when each one, somebody will eventually say, I'm getting too big for this cocoon. I got to get some fresh air. And now, luckily, you could be the other caterpillar and says, all right, we're both in this cocoon. Let's see. Oh, what are these things on our shoulders? These are wings. Let's see what it's like to step out of this cocoon, and maybe we could fly. Maybe we could be different. But if you're holding back, it becomes very difficult. So I don't think it's possible, in answer to your question, which is a much bigger answer than your question is.
Good answer.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you could see it. It's really, I mean, you've changed, haven't you, over the last, since you've been in your, how long have you been in this relationship?
Almost 20 years.
20 years. How have you changed over the last 20 years for the better?
For the better?
Yeah. Let's talk about your anger, specifically, because I know where you've changed.
I have a lot of anger, a lot more anger than I did 20 years ago, for sure.
Okay, now, is it a good thing?
The anger?
Yep.
I don't believe so. I try to control it, but I feel like now I have more anger in me, not only in my relationship, but in life in general, and it's probably stemming from the relationship and other relationships in my life also.
Okay, now let me ask you, 20 years ago, where was all this anger?
I don't think it existed because...
No, it existed.
You think so?
See, that's the thing, yeah. That's the thing. It existed. That's what we were talking about, this repression. You see, people kind of push it down. If it's there now, it's always been there. It didn't grow because of the relationship.
You don't think that a relationship could stir up anger in you?
Sure, it could stir it up. But if you stir up something, it means it was in the bottom of the pot the whole time.
Yeah, maybe that was the wrong terminology. But, I mean, do not things in life create anger where there wasn't anger? I mean, I know that you may be prone to be that disposition, but...
Well, let's talk about your relationship. What's going on? Why are you so unhappy with your mate?
Well, you know what? The biggest unhappiness is that I don't feel like I'm viewed the same way I was. There's that infatuation is gone, which you make it sound like that's quite obvious that that's going to happen after a certain amount of time. But I almost feel compelled to do something to bring that admiration back, because initially there was a lot of admiration, especially on my mate's part, and it doesn't seem to be there now. And I may be partly responsible for that, but it still leaves a big void in my relationship. And to me, it seems like the games that people play is the only way to rejuvenate that infatuation. You know, when somebody wants something so bad because they see it as being a tremendous asset in their life, but once you have it, and if you had it for 20 years, I guess that feeling wanes.
Well, I understand, Jimmy. I understand your position. I remember once I went to see one of the world's great spiritual teachers. He was, out of respect for him, I won't mention his name. He was one of the great, great leaders, great thought, great, wonderful thinkers, spiritual, taught me a great deal. I sat up front in the audience, and he passed gas. Yep. You heard this thing loud and clear, you know, right through. And I looked at him and I said, oh, kind of my heart fell. You see, I think that's what happens in relationships. I think at the beginning we have this deep infatuation. And you love, Jimmy, you love the fact that your wife kind of saw you as a hero. Then she got to see you and she found out you're not such a hero. But this is what's happened. She got mad at you. She got mad at you for not being that hero. You two have never worked this thing out. Because in a sense, you know, here you are 20 years later. You've been committed to this relationship. You've been a different kind of hero. You've got to find out what kind of hero you are now, as opposed to trying to be this white knight that she used to think you were. You know, you're different. You got different values. You got different strengths. You two need to be able to negotiate a new relationship, and you really do. I mean, if you've been there for 20 years, and if you used to be somebody who just wanted to be admired and loved, and now you feel that she sees you differently, and that admiration and love is not there, then she's not getting a chance to see what is admirable and beautiful about you, and you're not getting a chance to see what is admirable and beautiful about her without her worship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for this...
That's a lot to digest, but...
Yeah, okay. And for this, I recommend you find a really decent, and I mean decent, and these are hard to come by, couples counselor whose job it is to specifically heal that rift.
Yeah.
Make that work.
You're right. We tried that, too, and it was difficult because there's so much pent-up anger between the two of us that it's hard for somebody to referee.
Well, you see, that's it. Then the therapist is not doing their job.
Really?
They're not supposed to be a referee. You know what I mean? They're not supposed to be a referee. They're supposed to say, oh, whoa, that's not what we're here for. Let's try this. They could get in there. Good therapists, which are hard to come by, but good family therapists can make it work. So try again. And if you can't find a way to try it, call my office and I'll find you somebody.
All right, great.
All right, Jimmy?
Hey, thanks. I appreciate your time.
My appreciation of you, too.
You're great, thanks.
212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Great, he brings up a lot of fine points. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand. I've been listening to your program for a while, and it's really a great program. I just want to tell you that I haven't had sex with my wife for like 6 years now. Are we together still? And it's really hurting me, you know, but I just can't leave.
You can't leave? Yeah. And what did you say is wrong? You haven't had sex with her in 6 years?
Oh, I can't hear you because maybe you got a cell phone and I'm driving.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You can't do it. What's your first name?
Sorry about that, but I really can't hear you, you know, so...
Call me back or call my office, and I will talk to you.
See, I maybe call you back some other time, but...
Okay, I know we have the cell phone.
Okay, so, thanks.
Hmm. And if you can now hear me on your radio, you know, I hear. You can call me at my office, which is 212-757-4488. And by the way, if any of you wanted to get a copy of these relationship series, we're making them available. 212-757-4488. Let's move on. 212-209-2900 to take these calls. We're taking your calls tomorrow. We will be here with the very creative Roberta Achi talking about human sexuality once again. We've got quite a bit of stuff pinned in. We may be talking about the alpha male and the alpha female. We may be doing that. Such fascinating stuff. What do you think you would like to have as president of your country? Would you like to have an alpha male or a beta male? That's something to learn about, and it's really an important consideration in this race. We'll talk about that tomorrow, I think. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you turn your radio down, please?
Yes, I did, all the way now.
Good, thank you.
Hello. Thank you. I listen to you, and I do admire also your advice. I've been in one relationship with my husband for 27 years. It's been a very bad relationship, and I know I brought some things from my childhood that were part of that. However, the relationship that I got involved with was with a priest, and nothing sexual happened, but it was so blissful and fulfilling that I don't know what boundaries are anymore, and so I really would like to hear about what you might have to say about this.
So you've been in a relationship for 20 years with a man.
With my husband.
With your husband.
25 years. Right.
25 years with your husband. And
right.
Your husband brings back to you many of the conflicts from your childhood.
Exactly.
Right? You were abused.
Ten times worse.
I would imagine you were abused as a child.
Absolutely.
Right? And I could imagine that you were beaten badly.
No, I wasn't beaten badly.
Emotionally?
I was verbally beaten badly.
Verbally beaten badly, yes.
I was hit a little, but, you know, verbally very badly, and also...
Okay, now, how do you imagine that being beaten badly by a husband when you're an adult compares to being beaten badly emotionally by a father when you're a child? There is nothing your husband could do that would compare to the brutality of your childhood. Nothing. Whatever he's doing...
Yes, there is. My husband is much more brutal than my father or mother ever
I know,
was.
But you know, when you were a baby, that brutality struck you to the bones.
Uh-huh.
So what's happening now is you're taking that wound, and it's being repeated with your husband, and yes, some work has to be done on that to get that to stop. But
right.
Then here's where the invaders come in. Along comes a prince...
Right.
Someone who says to you, I don't even want you sexually. I am here to blissfully hold your hand and tell you how beautiful you are.
Yes, he validated my spiritual side, which my husband can't see at all.
And do you feel like you're in love with him?
Oh, absolutely. More than that. Beyond that. It's it was so validating that everything changed.
You say it was? You mean it no longer is?
Out of respect for his priesthood, and it might be self-sacrificial, but, you know, I just couldn't even see him anymore, like, without starting to cry. So I thought that that was kind of, I just really had to pull away.
And so you pulled away from that relationship, but you could...
I did.
You could feel the validation in your spirit?
Absolutely, even to this day, like, for 2 years later.
Good. Now, how are you going to continue that development in you? Without having somebody...
Listening to you.
And?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling for advice.
Sure. You've got to kind of move this out a little further. You've got to take this work a little further than just taking people who are the opposite of your father and loving them. You know what I mean? You've got these two ends. You've got the one who's brutal, and you've got the one who's kind. And what you're doing is your sense of self is being determined by your reactions to these people. If somebody's very kind to you, you feel alive and you feel beautiful. If somebody's very harsh to you, you feel terrible. We've got to help you find this from yourself in the middle. And that requires you doing some work on yourself without having the person on the outside there to be the source of it. Have you ever been in any kind of counseling or therapy?
Yes, I finally, after this happened, well, with loving the priest so strongly, I did go for 10 sessions of therapy.
Sounds like you didn't like it that much.
There was a point at which I don't think, and I don't mean to be judgmental, but I don't think the therapist was doing her job in
yeah,
the
I
sense
could hear.
Of the things
and
I was
she did
reading.
Not respect your love for the priest, I could tell.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a mistake. She invalidated your feelings towards this man who you knew, and so that worked against you. Find somebody else, please, please, just because therapists sometimes are rank amateurs in letting people understand love,
It is a strong love. It was a love that has brought me above, I don't mean above people, but I've seen a new way of looking at life.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Thanks for calling in, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
sure.
you.
This is Armand DeMille. We have to be going. My heart gets so touched. So this is, we will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. for a copy of today's program. You call 212-757-4488. And please, my friends, bear with the fact that our phones have been out for a week due to a leak in the streets somewhere. So give it a shot, 212-757-4488, and just if you get a busy signal, do call back.